Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
You sure are. How are you doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
That it is.
And that means it's the weekend.
It's the weekend. And it's a pre-recorded show.
Well, they're all going to be pre-recorded, are they not?
I guess they will be
Read the website and it seems like we're killing the live deal that is known as Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Yeah, and we'll probably take a hiatus after the 200th show, which is like nine shows away from this.
We're going to take
I'm thinking that's what's going to happen.
A Jabbercast hiatus,
yeah.
And is there a real reason for that?
No, just...
You're bored, or...?
No, you golf too much.
No. By the time we
because
get to the show
golfs
to
too much.
200...
He's going professional.
I am professional.
That's right.
You know how much money I've earned on the bogey golf tour this
How
year?
Much? Did you get some? You won something last time.
Yeah, the last tournament I was in, I won like $65.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It pays for itself.
A little bit of validation for you.
But you know what
you've come a long way golfing.
You know what the funny thing is, though? When I don't golf in tournaments, I suck ass.
Oh, yeah?
I golfed with Mark Dana yesterday.
Okay.
And I sucked his... Oh, no, I mean...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, we're trying to keep it clean.
Yes, it's going
to
be
nine more shows to keep it clean.
Wait till we get to show 200.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the vulgar show.
That'll be, yeah, the filth show. All about dirtiness and pornography.
We'll have to put the explicit tag on that one.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should just warn people now.
Yeah, but maybe we should do it some kind of filthy show.
Warning.
Maybe we should look at the shows that we have coming up and really get some good stuff for the next nine shows. There's probably good
stuff. I was going to say, for the last 190 shows, it's all been good stuff.
Well, yeah. But maybe there's something that, you know, we want to get in before it's over.
It's not going to be
over,
though.
You don't want to do the second 100th show and say, oh, we should have done a show on this, and we probably won't get back at it till next season. Maybe we'll make it seasonal.
Like the flu.
Yeah, something like that. Just as dangerous for
humans. It's dangerous for humans to be listening to this show.
But it is a Saturday. It's kind of a dreary Saturday.
I love days like this.
I don't mind it at all. And you're going to get a haircut.
Yes, I am.
That's pretty exciting.
People need to know that.
Well, I don't know. Why not? Haircuts are exciting. I can't wait to go again and get a haircut. I would call my guy and see if he'll give me a haircut today.
I have a guy in Bell River. He's the barber
He's
in Bell River.
Guys all over the place.
I do. And the last time I went in there, he had a woman working for him.
Right.
Next to him. That's kind of bummed because he had like two kids. So he had two brothers working that needed a haircut, and he was only on the first kid. So the woman took me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have just said, I want to wait.
I should have, but then, I don't know, is that insulting to the woman?
Not really.
And you know what
I wouldn't let anybody else
cut my
hair.
You know what she was wearing?
What?
She was wearing, like, I have, when I grill, I have like an apron.
Mm-hmm.
It covers like my chest.
Yeah, a chef type apron.
Not necessarily a chef. It's a grilling type apron. You know what I mean? A chef is usually an apron they wear is usually just
okay. But
waist.
I do know what you mean. It's goes over your around your neck,
yep.
And you have the chest part, and then the rest of it like a regular one.
That's
I guess
what she was wearing, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. No pockets on it or nothing like you think it. But
oh, no pockets. Yeah, that's a problem. I wouldn't let anybody cut my hair that didn't have pockets.
Whereas my barber, he has like a jacket,
some kind of a smock.
Yeah, jacket. Smock. That's it. Thank you very much. And he's pro and whatever. I don't know, but I like the way he cuts my hair. So usually when I'm desperate, though, and I can't get to him, I go to Master Cuts in Tecumseh Mall.
Okay.
The $20 haircut.
Is that much there?
No.
Oh.
I usually just give 20 bucks.
Oh, right. Yeah, you got to give a tip.
Tip of some kind. Yeah. Unless they suck.
It's $5. I give them 15 extra.
No, it's not $5.
Unless they suck. And then what do? You just don't.
I don't tip.
What if it's the same person?
That's
is the same person.
I
ever
usually
sucked?
Get the same lady,
and she's pretty good.
She sees me and she goes, "Oh, you want me to cut your hair?" And I go, "Yeah, yeah." She's
really
good.
I'm just hanging out. I'm going to read one of your magazines.
No, do you want me to cut your hair?
Okay.
Kind of thing. Because I didn't realize you could do that.
They fight over you in there because it's. I want the tip. No, I want the tip.
No, it's usually the people who want the haircut. They fight over the person who's available.
I want the tip. I want the whole thing.
it's only show 191. Let's not get dirty already.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I wasn't implying that.
Oh, you're not an implier, are you?
No.
So is there anything you want to tell the listeners about
I don't think so.
No?
About what?
About the thing in Windsor.
The thing in Windsor?
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing going on in Windsor.
University.
There's nothing over here.
Okay. I just thought, because since that's free and whatever.
Yeah, well, you probably know that I did a podcast called You Talking to Me, where I interviewed people, different guests every week, and it was a pretty cool podcast, and that kind of went on hiatus for a while. Actually, I brought that to the Big 30, and I did shorter interviews and everything when I did the Jeff and Lana show and the Rare Rock show in there, and I combined everything together, but... Well, I got a gig at CJAM. It's 99.1 FM, and probably in the next couple weeks or so, You Talking to Me will be airing live on CJAM, 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Yeah, that's a new frequency, is it?
It is. They went from, I think, 99.5 to 99.1, or 91.5, I think it was.
It was 90. Yeah. It was low 90s, I remember.
Right, yeah. Moving up the ladder.
Yeah, so it's a stronger signal a little bit. A little stronger signal. And if you're living in Australia, you can still listen to You Talking to Me.
That's right.
Because they... Do they broadcast live?
They broadcast live. Yeah, you go to the website and listen live.
They archive their shows, too.
They also archive the shows, so past shows are all available. And they'll link to your website or blog or whatever, so I'll keep a track of what's coming up, what's going on in the upcoming weeks, who I'll be interviewing, and, links to guest websites and things like that. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's all
volunteer basis.
Yeah, volunteer thing. Yeah, of course, not getting paid.
No.
I want to stress that, not getting paid. So, if there's any insurance companies listening, I'm not getting paid. You want to call me on it or, call station? There you go. Not getting paid.
Did you say you weren't getting paid?
That's how I roll.
That's right.
Yeah.
All for
I don't want anything from anybody. I just want to give.
Right.
That's how I am.
It's for your peeps.
Yeah. It's for all the peeps that supported You Talking to Me with Big JD. You can visit You Talking to Me website at the letter U, talking, the number 2, me.ca. And I think I will post some information on there in the coming week or so.
Cool.
In the days leading up to when it happens. So anyway, okay.
Sounds good. So anything else going on, Big JD?
No, not much else right now.
What's going on this busy weekend in the city of Windsor? The air show's taking place today, I think. I don't know if they're going to do it with this little bit of dreary rain, sort of, not really.
I don't hear anything, and I think I would... Sometimes they fly here and back around and stuff.
Exactly. So I'm not sure what time it starts, but...
And then again, it's not even noon yet.
Right. And
what are we doing up?
What are we doing up? Down the water line here in Tecumseh, they're having a wine and... food festival of some kind.
Are they fighting over carrying guns there too, or no?
In Tecumseh?
Yeah.
Well, why would
you talk about? Eats and greets. Did you see that on the news about them? Well, that's probably some news. Maybe we'll get into news.
All right.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
All right, here we are in the newsroom.
That's what are you
talking about?
Deep.
What are you talking about as far as this gun thing goes?
I think it was Royal Oak, the Eats and Greets festival they had going on there, and it was a big controversy over the group that wanted to be able to carry their handguns out in the open and carry them at this Eats and Greets family thing. And I can tell you what I think about that. What do you think about that?
I think the reason that they're saying something about it is because the Eats and Greets people, the organizers, made it we don't want you to be carrying your gun on your waist in this area right here, in this quarter of a mile
stretch.
Who said
that first, though?
Who said what first?
Who said why in all the years that they've held that, I think it came from the gun people first.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think... somebody who was organizing it thought that since it was such a family-oriented...
Which it always is, and it's every year. Did anybody carry guns before? We've never heard this controversy.
I think that's what it was. People were carrying guns, and they just felt like, can we just keep guns out of this little area? Like, it's a little, a festival area.
I understand that it's their right to carry guns, but I don't think that they should necessarily have them there or make such a big controversy over it. And what I think about that is this. Those people that are carrying the guns and they belong to their special organization and club who's been checked out by the government to be able to carry a gun, what do they, how do they term that?
Non-concealed.
Non-concealed weapon. So they go overboard to state how clear of mind they are and how they're checked out by the government and they go through that rigorous testing or whatever it is they go through to be able to do that and carry that as that organization. And I think that it's a little bit whacked that they actually have to be so adamant about having their guns on them in the open at that festival that's family oriented. That I don't think is all that rational.
It's very unrational.
You know what I mean?
We are going to prove our point at your event.
Yeah, it's an irrational, I think it's irrational thought.
It is.
That they have to do that or and make such a big issue out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. This is America. I think that's the whole thing they're taking over the top. This is America, and you're able to carry a gun. And
while that's understandable, and the whatever amendment that is, and that's cool. You know what I mean?
It's not an amendment. It's right in the actual
Constitution.
Right in the original Constitution.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I sometimes use the word amendment within that too loosely.
Okay.
But I meant the Constitution, but which I think is fine. But if it's some type of event where they should leave them at home, then they should or not go.
Yeah, just don't go.
Yeah. And it's like they're only going for that purpose.
Right. It's not like
to make this point. And that is not all that correct in the head, I don't think.
It isn't, no.
Really, you know what I mean?
It's
if you thought rationally, you'd think, well, we don't need to carry, you know, it's a family thing. And, you know, what are the chances that there's going to be something going? And, you know, if something happens and one person pulls out a gun, everybody's going to pull out a gun.
Yeah, they're not saying no guns, are saying no non-concealed. We don't want to see weapons out in the open. That's all they're saying.
That, yeah,
you
sure.
You can have your thing in your chest, and if something does happen, because, you know, it's a pretty dangerous event.
But still, it's a group, an organization.
Yeah, I know.
Gun organization. What's that all about there at the family thing? You know what I mean? You got family? Bring them. The gun isn't a big thing there, but they're making it that way, so I don't know.
It's dangerous. People fighting over those ribs.
Yeah. Somebody's going to get a gap in their ribs.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
What else is happening in the news?
I know you had a list of your news.
I had a couple things. Troops out of Iraq, like on the 18th.
Yeah, they're only leaving 50,000 troops there.
Right, in non-combat.
Yeah. Are those people carrying guns?
No. It's non-combat.
Every one of
them. It's a big arts and meet and greet festival in Iraq. A 90-year-old woman raped in Detroit recently, like a week ago.
Isn't that
out of control?
No, she's a GILF.
A GILF.
No, she's a GILF. That's a great
grandmother's I'd like to frequent.
I'd like to frequent, yes.
I like to frequent. Yeah, that's just...
What about
that's it? That's just insane.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
You don't do that anymore?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm just kidding. No, 90-year-old woman raped. That's, you think the guys who have...
First of all, if you have to rape...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rape a hot chick. No, don't rape anybody.
You're saying that obviously. The 90-year-old woman wasn't hot?
Well, she might have been. Maybe she was. Maybe that was the whole thing. Maybe she asked for it, the way she dressed. Flaunting her panties and, you know, girdle or whatever it is that they wear.
Petticoat.
Yeah. What is this, a junction? But, yeah, that's just, that's out of control, man. That's really bad. I mean, rape in any capacity is bad, but that's, what is somebody thinking? Like, what kind of mind do you have?
I don't know. I can't even go there to think that.
Then again, there's people that like that. Like, they like sex with old people, you know what I mean? Which is normal, but, you know,
I wonder
date her, you know?
I wonder if it was an older man who did that, like a guy in his...
No, I think it was young teens, yeah. And more than one, I think.
No, brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a big GILF fest.
GILF fest.
Oh, yeah. Grandmothers I like to festivalize, I think is what that stands for. And, like, I don't know, there's a lot of things going on around the area. I don't know if there's anything going on in this city. I mean, there's some events coming up and so forth.
I just told you what was going on.
Yeah, well, you told me also pre-show about the Corn Festival.
Corn Festival, it's next weekend. That's in Tecumseh.
Right. And my drummer from Jeffrey David's Blues Connection is actually playing there in his other band, King's Highway.
King's Highway, that's the dude. But he doesn't work at Chrysler, does
he? Not to be confused with King Friday.
Right.
And what are you guys doing? What do you got coming up?
We have a gig on September 11th at the Iron Horse Party.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool.
That's very cool.
You should bring your bike up there.
Too, right?
A lot of people. You should get Lana to participate in the games.
In what? What's she going to participate in?
The games there.
She can't even walk.
Well, right now, September 11th, she'll be all good.
What do they have?
Like, you know, they have the sausage hanging and the chick...
Oh, on the back of the bike and everything.
Back of the bike and the bike's driving down a 2x4 and...
Oh, yeah, okay.
And how slow
can you go? Oh, that'd be great.
They have races at how slow you can drive your bike.
Yeah. Yeah, those are cool.
Oh, it's a blast.
I've gotten used to driving my bike pretty slow and balancing because of the fact that it's very difficult to put my foot down and pick it back up again at this point in time.
Yeah, I'll bet it
kills the back.
Yeah.
So I have to keep them up. I'm going to get training wheels.
You should come out, though. Seriously.
I may. I would love to and be awesome. I want to go to the Corn Fest, too. But that's late at night. I can't deal with that. I got to be in bed at 8 o'clock.
The entertainment isn't all that late. I think it ends at 10.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because there's
but it's been a long time. I've been wanting to see you guys play.
Yeah, you should get the Jeffrey David Blues Band to do a set at Iron Horse.
Yeah, at some point in time, maybe.
Some point in time, no, September 11th.
As long as I'm not getting paid for it, I'll come and do it.
Oh, damn, we don't pay you guys.
But we'll see about that next summer.
All right,
I can't do anything till next summer.
Next summer,
what else? Arson, building collapse, and. Injured like 7 firefighters over in America, Detroit area. That building collapsed and
and there was
crushed everybody.
Firefighters,
7 of them. Yeah, and 7 of them hospitalized.
I was going to say no one died though, right?
And then of course internationally, that flood in Pakistan is crazy. It's Pakistan. The amount of flooding in Pakistan equals like the size of the state of Florida. Huge.
Yeah, it's very big.
And kids and young people, they're all from drinking. Contaminated water, they're all like dying.
I wonder what the deal is. The reason there's so much flooding is because it's raining so much. So I'm wondering, why crazy. Don't they catch rain?
They are
so much rain.
They are catching it on the ground.
No, that's what I'm saying. Don't let it hit the ground.
You can't do that.
Why?
Put up a big tent over Pakistan.
No, I'm just saying.
The water filters into
it. You know, just makeshift something.
But you can't, but that rain is everywhere. How can you stop rain everywhere? You know what I mean? Even like in the size of a city, our city, you can't. How would you channel the rain?
I mean, it's just saying for your own personal use, catch some rain and fill a couple bottles of water.
Oh, to drink?
To drink.
Well, I don't know how clean that is either, really, but...
From the sky?
Comes through a lot of dirt in the sky. Like
not after it's been raining.
And winds blowing and dust and dirt flying everywhere. Like, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad, as bad as...
That's got to be almost as bad as drinking water from a mud puddle. I mean, it can't be that great. I mean, drinking rainwater is not supposed to be that great for you, but if they could at least get filters, that would work. Because filters aren't that expensive, or some type or way of filtering the water would be okay. They get jugs and they have some type of, you know, you can go to the camping places and buy filters, you know, so filter a cup of water and drink it. And like, yeah, that would work. I would drink rainwater for sure. Or boil it.
They can boil it. But there's also
the pills. Electricity there in Pakistan, do they?
Yes, they have electricity there, but not in the flooded places, no. But there's also
that'd
pills.
Be something, eh? 1 million people are zapped at the same time. But anyway, pills clean water?
Purification pills, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of neat, too. Does that really work, you think? What does it do?
Oh, definitely.
How does it purify? Where does the stuff go? Can't go away.
No, it kills all the living organisms in it.
Oh, okay. So all the scum that you actually still drink with
you
it
still
is
drink
dead.
It's dead.
And it's not, yeah.
It's not.
I wonder how your body reacts to that garbage.
Well, even if it's better dead. Than drinking live organisms.
Yeah.
E. coli-based
But water. Diarrhea can be fun.
Diarrhea can't be fun.
Can be.
What?
Can it not?
No.
Oh.
How can diarrhea be fun?
I don't know.
Where did you get that?
I don't know. I've seen videos.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. There's a lot of scat lovers out there. Not to be confused with Man Crothers.
Scat Man Crothers. He was a cool dude.
So we'll take a little break and we'll come back with today's show, which is...
Hippies!
Now you can hear the Jabbercast on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and free. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
So today's show topic is hippies.
Hippie shake.
What is a hippie?
I don't know if you can say what is a hippie. I mean, back in the day, there were actual people who were called hippies.
Right. It stands for something broader.
Yes,
it but then the broader term stuck for the
people.
What you would call the people.
Yeah.
And that's similar to something that's related is the beatnik subculture.
Yeah.
And they called the people beatniks.
Yep.
But
and then there was the hippies and the beatniks who were, you know, they kind of intermingle too, and because there's a lot of beatnik.
It was kind of a similar
because
thing. Well, alternative lifestyle.
I think everybody knows what a hippie, and when we think of hippie, you know, we believe in peace and love and
no, they know what they are, I guess, or what it is, or in their mind they see what a hippie, you know, long hair, tie-dye, beads, sandals, whatever, but
right.
But what is that subculture, or what did it, how did it come about, maybe?
It was many years in the making, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Vietnam War going on.
Right.
And we had a lot of other social issues that a lot of the young people were disillusioned by. And they were thinking, is this going to be the life for me? And then also happening at the same time was the anti-war protests. So, because nothing like this had ever happened since the Second World War, where people were getting conscripted, like you got your draft notice, you're going to war.
That's right.
So it was a lot of pressure being put on young people in the mid to late 60s. Like, I could get a letter in the mail and I don't want to go. Who are we fighting for? Like, I don't feel threatened by any other country coming and bombing my house or anything. We're going to fight in some jungle in some small country that I don't know anything about, to fight some, you know, cause that I don't really believe in. Why are we doing this? So I think it was the Vietnam War really was the thing that actually polarized the young people to think, I'm not going to follow along in my parents' footsteps, you know, just toe the line kind of thing, which up to that point, it was the post Second World War mentality. There was huge industrial buildup, and more importantly, a military industrial buildup.
Right.
All these companies were making tons of money from building up their military, and that was like a force unto itself. And these young people were saying, no, I don't want to do that. So there were usually, up to that point, young people just toed the line, and then when they became adults, they had their own kids, and it just went on and on and on. Whereas at that point, they said, no, this is we've had enough. I'm going to fight back because I don't want to go to this stupid war, and I don't believe in your war, and I can't believe that I live in a country that is promoting this war, and, you know, we got to get through it. And on top of that, back in those days, the media weren't so tightly tied to the government, and they'd go send film crews or TV crews over to Vietnam, and they would show dead bodies coming in, you know.
Right.
And they'd see their neighbors. Hey, there's what's his name's son on TV, and he's getting carried home in a body bag kind of thing. So it really, like I say, polarized a lot of people to be against the Vietnam War and everything it stood for. It seemed like it was really a bad idea, but it was something they kind of got stuck in, the American government. I'm trying to think, Kennedy started it or Nixon started it? I don't remember exactly when the Vietnam War actually began.
Nixon was before Kennedy?
Nope, after. He did run against Kennedy.
Oh, then I think it was Kennedy. Do you think that if there was no war or some of these political things for young people to rebel against or, I don't know, do you think we would have had hippies? We would have had still a group of young people that went against the grain, so to speak?
I think they would have been more marginalized, though. They would have been put off into even a smaller corner than they were put in when they came out.
I don't think today is all that different, except for the fact that at that time, I don't think there was as much for them. That subculture as a genre of music or way of thinking or the political aspects to do as there is today. I think today there's so much variety of music and things that are going on that you can have. There's obviously tons and tons and tons of groups that are probably, most of them are unnameable, that are into different things, against different things. You know what I mean? Whereas at that time, that's pretty much like it's all that's going on. And if you don't want to conform to the music that your parents are listening to, there's really only this. You know what I mean? And right. They're into that. Like, yep. You know, the psychedelia or rock or whatever they sort of called it. But that's about all there was. And so rebellious young people, it was really one big group.
Yes.
Whereas today, you know, you're going to have people that are into rock, people that are into metal, people that are into alternative music, people that are into, you know, other terms of music like grunge and this and that. And then so many different things that are going on politically that people take a stand over, and those people will be very different than the next group or how they live or their ideals and, you know, all that. So I think it's, you know, so there's not really like a specific subculture now.
Right.
Where before, young people could pretty much all be grouped into one thing. And I think, I mean, even the hippies came from the beatnik thing just prior. And those are distinctive and specific. The beatniks, and what else was there really? Not really anything else. And the hippies, and there wasn't really anything else. And then eventually, there was so much going on in the world that, you know.
Right.
It's like a free-for-all for young people to just rebel or be alternative or whatever.
Speaking of free-for-all, that was the big thing that the hippies believed in, was everything should be free. There's enough stuff on this planet for all of us if we spread it all out. But it wasn't necessarily socialist. It was just this money system that we've set up here. It doesn't benefit the people. It just benefits banks and insurance companies and the government. We don't need to have a money system. If people just get rid of the stuff they don't need anymore, and we take all the stuff that we don't use anymore, and we just let it be available. Let it be available. everybody will be fine. So I know that there was this one store in San Francisco, which is pretty much the birthplace of the hippie movement. And it was...
And you've been there.
What's that?
And you've been there.
I wasn't there in 1960.
Well, not at the time, but I mean, you've been to Haight-Ashbury.
We stayed there, one of the only hotels in the area. And what that store did back in those days was take donations from people, and you didn't have to pay for anything. You just came in and took what you needed, and people would bring all their stuff in.
That's cool. Yeah. In theory, that would be pretty awesome.
If that would have grown, that would have been really good. So where did it all start as far as the hippies, long-haired, free love? I'm trying to think what the quote was from Timothy Leary. Drop out, tune in. You know?
Yeah, there's so many different little things. But mid later 60s pretty much is when all that
turn on, tune in, drop out.
There you go.
Turn on. So, and Timothy Leary was one of the what do you call those people?
Timothy Leary's dead.
I'm trying to think how the rest of that tune goes, but anyway, he was a professor, so he's a smart guy. So when he talked to the young dudes, the hippie to be people, he was someone that they could look up to because he could speak well and, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was all about dropping acid back in those days. It wasn't so much necessarily pot, but it was the psychedelics. So he got into the psychedelic drugs.
LSD.
Mostly LSD. And he experimented with it extensively. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like, he would write pieces on how to have a good acid trip, kind of thing, you know. And so people looked up to him, and also a lot of groups would gather, like activist groups. And one of those big groups was called the Diggers. Originally, they were out in the desert, but they came into San Francisco after hearing the buildup in San Francisco. Because the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood back in '66 was mostly a lot of black people lived there, and it was like a lower middle, not even middle, it was lower class apartments. People lived in there. But slowly, a lot of these, since it was cheap places to rent, a lot of the hippies started moving there. And, you know, they'd stick 20 people into an apartment and whatever. And then more and more groups started going, these activist groups, and they started movements. And one of those big one of the bigger ones was the Diggers. I'm not sure if that's where this expression, can you dig it, or I can dig it, man. I'm not sure if that's where that all came from. But they were also not only, and where they got their money from was performing. Mm-hmm. They did plays out on the street, and they go in the park, and they would perform. And I think they were also instrumental in that whole, there was a parade that started the whole thing. Kill Money or something, like it was like let's get rid of money kind of movement, and the Diggers were a big part of that, and a lot of others, since they were a performing group, and a lot of other groups that were believed in the same thing, like the Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, they would also go there. Another group I was thinking of,
which by the way, Woodstock was a cool film.
Woodstock was
hippie-ish film,
a very hippie-ish film. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that took place in upstate New York, which is on the other coast, and had nothing
right to do. But those two areas on the two coasts, San Francisco and New York, were the places really that
I think New York was more for the beatniks. They were into kind of like a poetry, jazz, kind of free,
sort of
scat.
A little more creative and written works and intellect to whatever degree.
That's a good way to describe that. There were some intellectual characteristics about the beatniks that the hippies didn't necessarily care about, because the hippies believed a lot in free love, which, you know, mm-hmm. and the beatniks weren't so much about that, you know.
Right.
They cared about who they had for sexual partners. So, yeah, that's kind of the where that all started, as far as San Francisco being a joining place for all these groups and activists and bands to it kind of just built up. And eventually in late 1966, 15,000 hippies lived in the Haight-Ashbury area, which is a lot compared to what was there before. But the really big summer of love had, I think, at least 500,000 hippies in that area living in the parks, and it was just a big...
The hippies were very communally organized.
Yes. I'm trying to think of the group that, the activists that actually fed the people. They would have the soup, I know, they made the soup, and they would bring it up into the park.
Another movie that comes to mind is the one with Arthur Guthrie.
Was
it Arthur? Arthur? What's the movie? Alice's Restaurant?
Oh, Alice's Restaurant.
That's a hippie-ish film, too.
Oh, very hippie-ish film. I know his dad is Woody. And
Woody Guthrie. Arthur Guthrie.
Is it Arthur?
Yeah.
For some reason, that's not ringing a bell.
No? Arthur Guthrie.
But yeah, Alice's Restaurant. That was a funny movie. I think it's the only thing he ever acted in, but it's kind of...
Yeah, it's lame, but it's
a bit lame,
It's
funny to watch, though.
And then there's some of the old, like, Easy Rider and
Arlo.
Stuff like that. Arlo, yeah. Why do I want to say Arthur?
I don't know. It's
Arthur Guthrie. Is there? I wonder if there's an Arthur.
I'm sure there is an Arthur Guthrie. He probably lives down the hall.
Yeah. That's right. Arlo Guthrie.
That's a cool name, Arlo.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Hippie-ish, too.
Kind of hippie-ish. There's a
different
cartoon also with Arlo. Arlo and Arlo and somebody.
Oh, okay. But some of the old biker movies, too, are like, you know, real beatnikish and hippie-ish.
Yeah, that was another subculture, the biker subculture. That was more of a let's get on the road. And
right. Similar. But, I mean, they had their camaraderie was based around the motorcycle. So I guess that would be one of those differences where, like, you find so many different things today, you know, different groups of young people, and there's a sort of an example of that back then, I guess, which there aren't that many examples, I don't think, you know. Maybe you could really dig and find other things, but the biker community or whatever, that was something different.
And another one I'm thinking of is the surfer deal on the West Coast.
Yeah, there you go. Surfer thing, yeah.
Because that was a...
They were a little different, probably stood for a little bit different things, did things a different way.
Had more money, probably.
Their location, you know, the beach thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had bands that rallied around that. Of course, there's the Beach Boys and the Ventures.
Beach music, yeah, sure. Wipeout. Wipeout. So yeah, actually, if you really dig, the origins of the hippie movement can be dated back to ancient Greeks.
I believe it.
The philosophies,
the philosophy behind it.
You
sure.
know what I mean? Came from there. I guess. I mean, everything's been done before. Really, you can't really find anything that you know do anything now that hasn't been done before or comes from somewhere or somebody you know
inspired by something else.
Yeah. Yeah, at least, you know, maybe if it is innovative, it's still got to be inspired by something.
Of course.
We're human, you know, and we have been all this time, pretty much, so.
Are you sure?
But for the most part, yeah.
I think there's some reptilians here, too.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other show.
I know.
We're due for one of those. And then early hippies from 60 to 66, you know, that's when things really began. And the beatniks, of course, in the 50s, really. Where most of that started, but and then when you think of hippies, it's the cool stuff like the crazy buses and the VW buses and the way they dressed, the big
bottoms.
They had the stovepipe pants too, and the bell bottoms and headbands,
afros.
I guess. Well, you only have an afro if you have an afro, really.
No,
no. People just made afros.
Look
curled their hair to have an afro.
Look at Eric Clapton. In the late 60s.
He had very curly hair. I think he still does. It's just short now. No. I think he's got very curly hair. He doesn't have... Well, yeah. He had
an afro.
Maybe I have seen him with straight hair as well.
Oh, yeah. He's got straight hair now. You know, to watch Speaking of Eric Clapton, is that Jeff Beck at Ronnie Scott's? Have you seen that yet?
You know what? I think I... Did I get that? Did I buy that recently? Or?
I don't know. Did you?
You remember when I went and purchased that?
I don't remember that.
I think I may have that, but I just have not had time. I've gotten some pretty cool stuff lately and haven't had time to really get into it all. Summer of Love, 1967. Revolution, 67 to 70. And the Beatles were singing about the revolution.
You bet.
Must have been a pretty cool time, though.
Yeah. It was you know what I mean? Time, I think. And the funny thing is, well, maybe we want to go into some, I want to talk about hippie, people today. People who are described as hippies.
We'll do that as soon as we come back.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercats with Big JD and Lippo.
All right, we're back. We're talking about hippies today on the Jabbercast, which, by the way, you can visit the Jabbercast website at www.jabbercast.com. You can email us.
At hear me out, all one word, at hear me out at thejabbercast.com.
There you have that. And you wanted to talk about the people.
I want to talk about the people.
What did you want to talk about?
How the hippie ideal, the hippie, the core hippie, I want to say
mentality,
maybe, is alive and well today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think a lot of people who heard about hippies and what they all stood for and saw movies, watched Woodstock and whatever, they look at that and they relate to it and they want to be
some naturally, they just relate to it naturally.
Yeah,
that's the kind of people that they are.
Exactly. I know two people I know, they dress pretty hippie-ish and they got that same mentality, so laid back and so everything's good, you know.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's hey,
yeah. And they're not necessarily drug takers.
Take it down or it's cool.
Downer, man.
Chill.
Right. And so it's not necessarily the drug thing, but it's just the whole everything.
No, I don't mean take downers as pills. I mean, just calm down. Like, it's cool, man. Take a downer.
Oh.
Which is probably where that came from.
But I should have took those lewds then. Should
Whoa.
Have. Yeah, so they're all about just a loving mentality. Relax. Don't get uptight about anything.
Which is a good thing because it's peaceful. And that's good. And we need more people like that in the world for yes. the most part. I mean, you know, that was a peaceful, they were a peaceful communities, really, right. for the most part.
For all, the whole part.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you look at the, what's his name now that's still in prison?
Charles Crazy Mason?
Guy. Yeah, you know, I mean, they were all hippies and stuff like that. There's craziness everywhere, but I mean, for the most part, you know, I'm sure government to some degree drives people to do crazy things too.
But. I don't know that how does Charles Manson become a hippie? I don't get that. I know that he lived on a commune.
Yeah, it was hippie times, not working, you know, lived communally. And
but he was like a...
He was
like,
a hippie though.
He was like the dude all hippies. At Waco, Texas there, or Alex Jones, and not Alex Jones, but...
But they were hippies.
Jim Jones.
They're all hippies.
I don't know if that he was so hippie-ish. Himself. I think he was like the I want to be a leader, and he was like had like a Hitler kind of role because he wanted to do every chick in the place.
Oh, right. He was different, but I mean, I think it's he was, you know, he wasn't normal.
No, he wasn't normal.
He was like lived a hippie life and lifestyle, though. I mean, you know,
yes.
The love and the, you know, he just happened to be a controlling, weird guy.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
I know
we were going somewhere with that, but...
Well, you're talking about the way that those people are in today, you know, and I was just getting at that the world would be a better place if there was more people like that, I think.
I think so, too.
Not everybody. I mean, there has to be some people controlling, you know, to some degree, like...
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, get accomplished. Yeah. We need some people with some kind of control, some skills. Direction. And yeah, exactly. Well, not to say that people who are hippies don't have any skills.
Right. But the majority will be laid back. You know, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about it.
I think a lot of the people who are hippies are in arts today.
Yeah.
Musicians.
Mm-hmm. Probably writers.
Computer dudes.
Poets, computer people, geeks. Yeah, that's the old beatniks right there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And those are probably, a lot of those people are the ones probably that, if you think about, are the ones that relate to that hippie mentality.
I think so, pretty much. And
would you say you are? I would say I am to a degree.
Yeah,
to but a I think degree. There's people that that are very phony too, that are into that kind of stuff or into alternative things to look and be different in others' eyes or to. It's hard to say where they do it and it's not really natural. However, there were probably a lot of hippies that maybe it's, you know, people like that, that it's not natural to, but they're rebellious for whatever reason.
Right.
And I guess that's not really natural either. You know what I mean? Compared to people that are naturally hippie-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just like, you know, you look at them and say, you know, that's just the way they are.
Right.
But then there's people that, you know, somebody might say like, you know, I don't like that kind of music that you listen to. I'm into more obscure stuff. You know what I mean? And that's right. And sometimes it comes across very phony.
For sure.
You know, because they want to be different. Like,
I find that same thing happens with biker dudes too. There's some guys who like the biker lifestyle, but yeah, and they try it and they just seem, they come off as being really phony.
Yeah.
They want to take it someplace, but you just realize it's not really embedded in this. Not something they totally embraced from the get-go kind of thing.
That's another thing that's pretty cool and still people live by those ways today and the biker lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same kind of thing.
A lot of those people who are going to be at that Iron Horse party are like that.
And what is Iron Horse exactly?
Iron Horse is a bike...
is it a group like Harley Owners Group kind of thing or something? Or?
The Harley Owners Groups are guys with are accountants and lawyers who own Harleys, and they wanted to be like a biker when they grew up, but they never actually did anything about it. But once they got the money, and you know, then they bought a bike, and now they're Harley Owners Groups. Whereas the Iron Horse people are the guys who may have been in a bike gang.
Right.
Like illegal activity, mm-hmm. you know, selling drugs or whatever, doing whatever. And then they turned and became useful members of society.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have that mentality of the biker, you know.
Are a lot of them the Christian type riders or anything like that?
No,
or,
nothing you know, like
there's
that.
Some like that too, the Blue Knights and things like that.
Right.
That
no,
like, try and the do-gooders.
Right.
Yeah.
So these guys they have the biker mentality, the camaraderie, I'll do anything for a brother, and, you know, the let's ride free, and, you know, the whole let's get on the road and nothing can be better than that. So they were those guys who did that, but then they realized, okay, I got to get a job and I got to, you know.
Are they looked at by the real biker community? I mean, locally we have bike clubs, real bike clubs.
Right. They're on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they could go either way kind of thing. Some of them are.
Probably, you know, because a lot of them know each other or have been in those clubs and, you know, so I mean, they're not, you know, outlawed by other clubs or anything like that.
No, they're not outlawed by clubs. So they're the guys who, they probably, like you say, they grew up in high school and they got their bikes and they probably, you know, traveled the continent on their bikes. And when they got back to their home base, one guy went back to the club.
Right. And the other guy, you know, was working somewhere.
Got a job and whatever.
Providing for his kid and family or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Because they do have a clubhouse on Drouillard, and it's like a bike club, like you'd expect a bike club. You know, there's a bar there, and it's like a bar.
Isn't there that little industrial spot or something? Or am I thinking of, there's a couple on Drouillard, actually.
I'm not sure.
That's cool. And where does the event take place, actually?
It takes place at Marty Lucier's house.
Marty Lucier's. And that is where? Out in the county somewhere?
You do know who Marty is?
Where do you get tickets and everything? That's a very familiar name and everything. I actually know a Marty Lucier that was a cop.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
This guy worked at Chrysler's. Marty did.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why it's familiar, but
he looks like a dwarf.
I might know him to see him.
He's got a big old belly and big old beard. Mm-hmm. And he's comes up to your neck.
Yeah. And it's held at his place, obviously, outside the city.
Outside the city on County Road 15.
And anybody can go?
Anybody can go.
To see? Will you buy tickets or something like that?
Yeah, you can buy tickets for me if you want.
There you go. And when is it? The date?
September 11th.
December. Oh, that's right. You said that, and it reminded me of September 11th.
9/11.
That's right.
Yeah. My dad's birthday.
Your dad was, his birthday is September 11th.
Yes, it is.
Wow. I wonder if he had anything to do with all that.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of your dad.
Yep.
The Philosopher's Corner. What? Anything going on with that?
No.
Is that just like the coolest thing ever?
It's the coolest thing. I gave away the, I let the domain name.
Would you bring your dad to me for an interview at some point in time?
Sure.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be fine.
Will he talk about, you know, what he did as a professor at university and all that?
Sure.
And some of the stuff he's into, and maybe even a little bit about his podcast, if you refresh him?
Yeah, don't talk about his podcast.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, papers he's written.
Sure.
Things he's been involved in that way, yeah. Maybe. That would be really cool. I'd love that, man. I'd love that.
It's funny.
That's like top priority.
Yeah. It seems like there's a certain point where he just doesn't quite remember things quite clearly, and the podcast is in that realm of time. You know what I mean? It wasn't something that he was really aware of what was really going on. Because when I talked to him about it, he doesn't remember it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so one day he was over at our house, and I put the headphones on, and he goes, "Do you remember doing this?" And he goes, yeah. "Wow, I did that." He's like impressed with his own voice. Like, I don't remember.
When he was doing the podcast, though, was what was that to him? Did he know, like, really aware of the whole show thing, or did he think he was just doing something for you, or you know what I mean?
He didn't grasp it. He just thought, what I'm saying is going on the internet. He didn't understand that it was widely available or the whole.
How familiar is he with the internet?
Not very. He still doesn't understand it very much. He's going to be 86.
Right.
And one thing, we talked about this. I tell him, "Dad, I'm so glad you don't have Alzheimer's," because I know a lot of people he lives with. He sits at a table with a guy, and my dad always has to point to the chair he's sitting in. The guy has to sit in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm grateful for that, but his memory is a lot gone.
And if I talk to him about some different subjects, he could obviously go on and on and on about things, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
He would easily be able to do a
30-60
minute thing or something.
No problem.
Awesome.
So that's the thing. That stuff's in his brain forever, I guess. You know, the stuff that, you know, the core stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as events within the last 10 years, no. That's about it. The last 10 years. Before that, like raising his kids and going to university and becoming a teacher and all that stuff. He remembers that in the papers he's written.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He actually did, speaking of papers, he wrote a paper and it was published regionally. It was syndicated, I'm going to say 1970, about hippies.
Really?
He wrote a paper on it. I just looked for it. I didn't look very hard, but I found a mention of it, but I didn't actually find the article. I would have loved to have found that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I wish I still had that. I remember reading it like when I was in my late 20s when I found it and it's all his papers and stuff.
A philosophical paper on
no, it was more
that
of a,
time or something?
It was like his take, being a philosophy professor in, you know, teaching university, and he saw a lot of kids coming into university with, you know,
okay,
dressed that way or whatever, you know. And so he was, I think he was fascinated by the whole thing. And so he decided to, I want to get down to the bottom of this hippie thing. So he was, took a, you could imagine like an intellectual type person doing a paper on hippies. Like, you know, it's kind of a research project.
Yeah. Do you know how long that article is or anything?
It's pretty lengthy. It would be like if,
like a couple few pages or something.
Couple few pages. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's it's pretty wild that, I mean, for anybody to actually, you know, publish things like that, actually sit down and write things that, you know.
He was always sending. He was always writing. His whole life he was writing.
Yeah.
And up to the time he was in his late 40s, he was going to university.
Do you have a lot of that stuff? Does he have his papers?
No.
Things he's written and
no,
all that?
I don't know.
Where is all that stuff?
I don't know. I wish I would have kept some.
That's
stuff.
Pretty amazing, man. That would make an awesome book. He's putting all that stuff together.
Maybe.
That's pretty cool.
So he was always writing stuff and sending it away to journals and newspapers all the time.
See, wherever he's ever sent anything probably has that stuff. You probably find a lot of your dad's old stuff somewhere.
Somewhere, if I had put my head to it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of neat. I've often wanted to go find some of my dad's stuff at, find it through the Army.
Oh, sure. He's yeah.
You know what I mean? His old records and whatever's available. I know there that the Armory in London had books with some of his pictures and stuff like that in it that, you know, he was in, and we did go once to try and find some of that stuff because he had seen them before and we didn't find them because their library is rather large, but we looked at some of the books through that time and, mm-hmm. you know, but I couldn't find anything really. And I do have some things of his from that time, but to see what exactly he did, and I do have pictures of the truck he drove, but I mean, you know, there's probably more extensive records on everything that he did and was in the Army.
More than likely, yeah.
He was a marksman. He was I know he boxed in the Army, and so that's pretty cool stuff. Anyway, dads, that's a whole other story.
That's another show.
We'll take a quick break and come back with some hippie terms.
This is Big JD's Aunt Shirley.
And this is Big JD's Uncle Brian.
And you're listening to the Jabbercast with
Big JD and Lippo.
I just wanted to bring up a few hippie terms, and there's obviously a lot more than what I might have here, but man was said a lot, and still is today. Hey, man.
I got a hair in my nose or something.
Want some trimmers?
No, I'm good.
Man was something that was said a lot. I guess a friendly way to acknowledge someone or a reference to the man, the government.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I guess sort of had a couple different meanings. Psychedelic. A mind and eye-opening experience, like cool, trippy, something hallucinogenic, psychedelic, mellow, calm, relaxed, chilling, like mellow down, like mellow out. You know what I mean?
Mellow down, easy.
There you go.
It's easy talk.
Groovy,
of course.
That was cool, awesome. Chicks. That's what you would call the female gender. Back then, they were chicks.
Back then?
Girls were chicks. Well, they still call them that now, I guess, but...
Absolutely.
She's a hot chick. Dudes. Another descriptor of someone of the male gender.
Persuasion.
A dude. A guy. Cool dude. Fly, something that's cool. Fun.
Fly was from the hippies?
Easy to get along with. Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty fly, man.
I did not realize that.
Maybe from, I wonder if that was something from even earlier, Beatnik.
Oh, maybe.
It's pretty fly. Or either that or late hippie. Righteous.
Late hippie.
Righteous.
All hippies are late, aren't they?
Fun, cool, right on. And right on is not even on here, but right on is right on too.
A lot of that, a lot of those things were brought into the show Laughing. That was taking place at the, it was recorded in the late, I think that started in 69 and then went into the 70s.
And then there's a lot of things like terms for things that were going on at the time, like flower power.
Flower Power,
like
yes.
You mentioned free love. You know, they had their terms for activities and things that they did at that time.
Well, the only thing they did was drop acid.
Well, yeah.
Get laid and sleep and eat and drop more acid.
Their hobbies were dancing, drugs, and music. And we can probably give you some pointers on how to be a hippie. You can listen to and learn everything about jam bands such as Fish, the String Cheese Incident, and Widespread Panic.
What do you
stuff think? That I don't listen to. I don't listen to those bands. Do you?
Widespread Panic, I got some of their stuff. Fish, I got some stuff, but that's...
I mean, it's all right stuff, but it never really turned my crank, I guess.
You're a metal man, that's why.
Yeah, and then same thing with a lot of the older bands. Grateful Dead, what else? Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I mean, it's cool stuff, but I was never that. You know what I mean? If I look at Woodstock, it's Joplin, it's Hendrix, it's The Who. I guess I was just always into the heavier stuff than the laid-back or experimental type. You know what I mean?
Right.
Stand by the music you like and don't be angry if someone else doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I find that with some of the new age hippies that they don't really abide by that. They'll stand by the music that they like, but they'll cut up other music.
Oh, right.
Whereas, you know, I wouldn't cut up something that they listen to that I don't or that I don't really care for or never, you know, really bother with.
Their music snob.
Music is music, you know what I mean? But
I was definitely a music snob when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
If it wasn't like Deep Purple or Led Zeppelin or Ted Nugent, all, you know, that kind of music, it sucked to me. I wasn't open to all kinds of music. Definitely
yeah,
a music
I've always
snob.
Pretty much been open to everything. But there was something that I liked more than everything else, I guess, you know what I mean? But I always liked pretty much everything. I was listening to some goofy stuff way back then and
cool.
Still think it's cool because it's done well, written well, and you know what I mean? I don't think it's wrong to like popular stuff. It depends on how or why that you like it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If something sounds appealing or pleasing or just flows right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially from being creative and a musician or whatever, you know what I mean? Some things will stand out just because they, you know that they work.
Right.
And I like that.
I think
I don't care what it is. Gangster
well,
rap to, you know, the way somebody passes wind. Go on.
Ooh, that's musical.
Sure.
I think that the music has to have some kind of integrity. And I think there is music out there that works on a radio level that it just gets rehashed and rehashed. And then the integrity is
and
gone.
It was written with no integrity except to...
fit into a cookie cutter type
exactly.
thing.
And who comes to mind when I think of that more so than anybody? It's that guy from that Canadian band.
That guy from that Canadian band?
Yeah, you know who he is.
No, tell me.
Yeah, the winner of everything.
The winner of everything.
Chad... Freddy Krueger
was a
Chad Krueger.
Oh, Chad Krueger. No,
yeah,
it's yeah.
It's not like that guy.
Nickelback.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm in that same camp. And I try as far as the snob in the music thing. Being a teenager, I wanted to make sure that my as I grew older and became a musician or whatever, I wanted to make sure that my kids didn't have that same kind of snobbery.
Right. And appreciated
every whatever
all
they
music.
Whatever they wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
It was definitely good. And don't ever. Cut down any other kind of music because it sucks. And I never gave them that direction or whatever. But it's funny now they have that same thing. Like my son Eric just hates Nickelback only because it's, you know, it doesn't have that integrity. There's some songs that they do that are like heavy, but they're complete rip-offs.
There's some songs that they flow cool. They're written cool. Like it's, you know what I mean? If it had nothing to do with the way that he does that or what he does and why he does it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it would really matter to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hard rock guitar, cool flow to the song, you know, whatever. But just knowing that it's done, I think for whatever reason it's done for is this doesn't sit that all that well with me.
I agree.
Understand that being a hippie today, is a bit different than being a hippie in the 60s and 70s. So hippies have new ideas on different topics and deal with changing times. The hippie generation forming today is doing so for many of the same ideas that formed then, but they're different nonetheless.
Yeah. I think if someone calls you a hippie today, it's kind of meant to be Well, it depends who's saying it, I guess, but a lot of times it's meant to be, oh, you're just, you don't have your morals or what you stand for aren't really substantial. You're just a hippie or a liberal, commie, socialist. There's so many bad connotations associated with being hippie today, I think.
Yeah. Try to not contribute to pollution as much as possible. Conscious and aware of the environment, you know. Well,
they started all that.
You're right. Do volunteer work and learn about barter.
Learn about barter.
See, I'm a hippie. I do everything for free. And I'll barter like the best barterers. Wear clothes made of natural materials, especially hemp.
Yeah, hemp's good. Good material.
Protest against anti-life things such as wars, and help to campaign for more liberal drug laws. That's hippie-ish. Grow your hair and go to the hair salon as little as possible. You're going to lose your hippiness today.
I'm going to go get a haircut and not be hippie anymore.
It's common but not stereotypical for hippies to wear psychedelic tie-dye shirts. And sandals, I'll throw in there as well. Some hippies are into marijuana smoking and the use of psychedelic drugs such as mushrooms and LSD. So you're going to want to take as much of that as possible. And you heard that here first on the Jabbercast. So.
Mushrooms are cool. I had mushrooms last night.
Did you?
On my pizza.
Right. Now, did you put those on yourself or did those come?
Actually, we ordered a pizza from Chachi's last night and it was well done. And it was the second time it happened from there. I ended up calling the place.
I want pizzas now that you mention it so badly. I've been doing so well. And last but not least, attempt to become a vegetarian. And even that, I find some people that are vegetarians, it's to be different, to be, you know, whatever, to make their stand and be different sometimes. Whereas some people, you know.
Yeah.
Legitimately like the idea of that or, you know, want to conform to that lifestyle for, you know, a reason that I or some people could be more respective of them for. So
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to explain, actually. So,
well, it's the vegan thing, isn't it? Vegan is no animal anything, right? No milk, no
nothing, cheese, no animal, anything, no dairy,
right?
No fish, no. So anyway, Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Oh, no, Saturday.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig, brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
That's right. Our first edition of Saturday Morning Music Mayhem. What have you got lined up for us today?
Well, we got a song from the soundtrack of the movie Woodstock, which happened in summer of 1968, and one of the performers who was on stage at Woodstock was Country Joe and the Fish. And of course, like I said before at the beginning of the show, a lot of the hippie, where it all came from, was protesting the war in Vietnam, and this is what the song's all about. It's called I'm Fixin' to Die Rag.
Again, yeah, he's got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. Gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die. Yeah, come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. Why, man, war a go-go. There's plenty good money to be made by supplying the army with the tools of his trade. Just hope and pray that if they drop the bomb, drop it on the Viet Cong. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
on, generals, let's move fast. Your big chance has come at last. Now you can go out and get those Reds, cause the only good commie is the one that's dead. And you know that peace can only be won when we've blown them all to kingdom come. And if it's one, two, three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next up is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die. Come on, mothers throughout the land, pack your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, fathers, and don't hesitate. Send your sons off before it's too late. And you can be the first ones in your block to have your boy come home in a box. And it's one, two, three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next up is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about a little gadget that you picked up at Micro Center that I think is pretty cool.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If you don't...
You know, we've probably talked about that sometime way back because I had one before, but...
Did you really?
Yeah. I'm sure we talked about it. I'm not sure.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those before.
Essentially, it's... I call it a make your own jump drive, USB drive, whatever, but... in essence, it's pretty much a card reader, an SD card reader, really. It's a little thing that looks like a jump drive, like just the little USB stick you buy to put something on that's, you know, a gig, 2 gigs, 4, 8, whatever. But this one has a cap on both ends, so you can take the cap off to plug it in, the USB, but the other side pulls off, and you can put in an SD card of your own choosing, right, size-wise.
Yeah. Right.
So you can buy a card that's 4 gigs or 8 gigs or have a few cards and interchange them, whatever, because it's like a little card reader, but it's still only the size of just a little jump drive.
But it's the size of a bigger jump drive.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a little bit fatter maybe or whatever. But the only thing that I find this is actually lacking that would be neat if it had was some type of a keychain thing.
Some kind of hole in it.
Like a, you know, so you could put a key ring on it and put it on your thing. You'd probably lose the ends at some point because they're not that tight, but.
Right.
But it's a cool little thing.
Yeah. You know what? I say I never saw one before. I owned one, but it didn't look like that. The card went in the side of it.
Oh, okay.
And it slid, and the USB mail slid out of the one end.
I almost remember you having something like that.
Yeah, it's a light blue
different thing.
Yeah. And since it had so too many moving parts, it ended up breaking or just didn't work anymore. Whereas that is self. That's what I like about that. It's kind of self-contained. It's nothing. It can't break. The USB ends. Everything's protected.
And it's all protected.
Your card is protected. Yeah, your card's protected on one end, and your USB thing is protected on the other. And it's got a little LED light for activity.
Yeah,
I like that too.
Well, the only thing is that nobody can probably afford this expensive little gadget. So I don't know why we told you about it. This I picked up from Micro Center. In Michigan, I-75 and 14 Mile Road for $1.99.
Bam.
Minus the SD card, of course. You have to buy your own. But they have cheap cards there, too, so that's pretty cool. And something else that you want to talk to, do you want to talk to Google Chrome now? We're going to go to Google Chrome?
No.
You wanted to mention something.
Google Chrome is my web browser of choice. I love it. And of course, it's got extensions. And I think we talked about Safari.
Well, so Safari now, yeah.
Safari extensions are also on the rise as well. But one of the extensions that I like in Chrome is called the Fast Browse, I think it's called. I'm sorry. I had it up and I don't have it up anymore. It's Fastest Chrome is what it's called.
And
what does this do? It does one other thing that does that I'm not going to, that wasn't digging it. I don't use it much. You highlight something. And highlight a piece of text or whatever, and it'll do a Google search on it, translate it, find a map. It'll go, and you just got to click a little thing that shows up in front of it.
So you get a little menu that you can.
It's like a little cartoon
text.
Balloon. Okay, shows up above your.
Right.
If something's highlighted, a little balloon
with
shows
some choices.
Up with some choices.
Cool.
That's not what I like about it. The thing that I like about it is if you search for something and you get multiple pages of hits.
Mm-hmm.
as soon as you get near the bottom third as you're scrolling, it'll just automatically continue the list.
Oh, nice.
You don't have to click next.
Next page. That's can be kind of annoying.
Yeah, so it's just one big page of hits. Just one. You want to check it out? So it's,
yeah.
So as the scroll bar goes down, and now I'm on page 6, and then it keeps going and just never ends.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And they look like the actual individual page that you'd go to, because each one has the input for searching again. Search or whatever. Yeah, that's cool.
I love that.
Now, does Google Chrome have the Safari extension?
No.
What? I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. I thought you meant, did it use the same extension?
It's got the Safari extension, so when you click on the Safari extension, it just automatically switches Google Chrome to Safari to do your searching. Wouldn't that be something? Everyone could enjoy.
Sure. The thing I like a lot about Chrome is the bar on top. They call it, I forget what they call it, the all-in-one bar, the genius bar, whatever it's called. You just throw anything you want in that bar. So you can throw an actual address if you know your .com, or you just throw whatever in there. And it just gives you really, like it knows what you're doing.
Like, cool. I don't know if I like the idea of that. It always knows what you're doing.
Yeah, the web is becoming more.
Sometimes you just sit there and it'll type on its own, you're drinking tea. Imagine that.
Well,
I bet your computer knows what you're doing by its webcam.
That's what I was going to say. So if somebody can hack into your webcam.
You have headphones on.
You have a microphone in front of your mouth.
And this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry. They are relocating on the corner of Haight and Ashbury in beautiful, not downtown San Francisco. It's in the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco. And you can buy all your tie-dye and hippie needs, including bongs, at Steve and Larry's. And you can find them at stevenlarry.com.
And now don't forget their new location for the next 9 shows.
That's right. Haight and Ashbury.
Unless, of course, next week they move back.
They may, but I doubt it. Haight and Ashbury seems like a nice hippie place for them to be, because Steve's a big hippie, you know that.
Steve's hippie-ish, I think.
Is he? Yeah.
Don't you think so?
He's very, he's a nice guy.
He's got his hippie-ish stuff going on, I think. Riding the bicycle, that's a little bit different, you know, some alternative sort of styling a little bit. And I think it's cool. And I think he's just naturally however he is.
It's a nice guy.
He does what he does and likes whatever he wants, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I like that.
Not really caring.
I like that in a man.
Yeah. I don't really care. And what do you like in your women?
It's raining out and he rides his bike because he likes it.
Sure.
That's awesome.
I think it's great too.
I like Steve. And I like Larry. I miss Larry. I haven't talked to Larry in a long time. I don't know if Larry is even... is Larry on the... Have you ever seen Larry?
I don't think I've ever met Larry in person. I think I've seen pictures of Larry.
That's going to be a big reunion.
Steve and Larry reunion. You know what Ronald Reagan said about hippies? A hippie is someone who looks like Tarzan, walks like Jane, and smells like cheetah.
Wow.
That's not nice.
No.
Ronald Reagan. He can go blow a turd.
President shouldn't be saying that.
No, they shouldn't. Well, he might have been an actor at that time.
Maybe. Was he ever really an actor?
You know what Cartman said about hippies?
Cartman? What?
Drugs are bad, because if you do drugs, you're a hippie, and hippies suck.
Can you say it like him?
No, I can't. I don't have a good Cartman.
I know a dude that does Cartman pretty good. A couple guys that do Cartman really good.
Now, someone like Bob Dylan.
I can do Butters, but go on.
You can do Butters?
I can do Butters pretty good. I haven't done them in a while, though,
Let's hear your best Butters.
Oh, boy.
It's interesting doing Butters with headphones on, because you're going to hear yourself right away.
I don't know if I want to... wait a minute. I don't know if I want to do drugs with my mom and dad's on. I can't, no. I've done him really well, but I haven't done him for so long that...
You need some practice.
Yeah.
I'll
work on that.
Work on your Butters for the week. Bob Dylan said, people today are still... This doesn't actually mention hippies, but it's in there. People today, and this is back then, people today are still living off the table scraps of the 60s. And I think it was just a little bit after the 60s when he said it, because they are still being passed around the music and the ideas. So he thought that the hippie music was... It wasn't original enough. It's kind of interesting because there's still music that is definitely based on the, you know, the music that was around then still.
Well, that whole time inspired
a lot of stuff.
Different kind of music, yeah. And I think it's, it sticks today.
Sure does. And finally, David Lee Roth says, you know what rock musicians are? They are hung up, neurotic, overweight hippies with sex problems.
Sweet. He was one of the best.
David Lee Roth.
Of those.
Well, he's one of those LA guys. He was into the beach music when he was a kid.
Is that what he was into?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but he was always pretty cool. I liked his attitude and his flamboyant
of course
style.
Did.
It was cool. Yeah. I like that. So there you have that. And what do we have coming up for the fine folks next week at, which they can find on the website, of course.
Yeah, if you ever want to know what the next bunch of shows is going to be, on August the, oh, this ain't right. Oh yeah, August 29th, Old Wives Tales. Must we explain this? This and other tales and stories. This will be fun, fun, fun. Speaking of Beach Boys, don't miss it. Live. Not.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So we'll see everybody next weekend. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.